On occasion, when a major solemnity occurs on a Sunday of ordinary time, it will supersede that Sunday. This is such a Sunday. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the birth of John the Baptist, which occurs roughly, give or take, 6 months prior to the birth of Jesus. It's timed pretty much to coincide with Christmas, so kids, there's now less time than more between now and Christmas. But it is also timed, because we really don't know when Jesus or John were born, but it goes with the tradition of the solstices, which is why when people come up to me and they say, "Father, do you know that Christmas is only a celebration of the winter solstice?" I say, "You know something? You're right. Now we celebrate Christmas instead of the winter solstice, and if you want to continue celebrating the winter solstice, all power to you. I'm looking forward to getting your winter solstice cards." But with the winter solstice, we see the day beginning to grow, and the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year. We are coming upon the longest day of the year, and from this day forward, the days will begin to grow shorter until the winter solstice. And that coincides with the words of John the Baptist in the Gospel of John when he says, "I must decrease while he, Jesus, must increase." And so just recognizing the cycle of the cosmos around us, the church placed those feasts on those particular days. And so we celebrate the birth of John the Baptist as the days begin to get longer, and the birth of Christ as the days begin to get shorter. Excuse me, let me reverse that. We celebrate the feast of John the Baptist as the days begin to get shorter, and the feast of the birth of Jesus as the days begin to get longer. But as we come to celebrate the birth of John the Baptist, as we know, it's not just simply the story of John being born. Actually, more detail is given to the event of John being born than of Jesus, when you think about it. What's the story of Jesus being born? The shepherds hear the story, and they go and see Jesus. It's a story about the shepherds. Whereas the birth of John the Baptist is actually a story about the birth and naming of John the Baptist, about his parents. And the naming becomes very, very important, which, of course, is nothing new in the scriptures. We have many instances in the Old Testament in which God, usually through an angel, declares what the name of the child will be before they are born. For example, to Abraham he says, "You will give birth, your wife and Sarah will give birth to a son, and you will name him Isaac." Samson's parents are told, "You will have a child, you will name him Samson." In this case, "You will conceive and she will bear a son, you will name him John." To the Blessed Virgin Mary, "You will conceive and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus." And to Joseph, "She will bear a son, you will name him Jesus." And so on. And so the naming becomes very important. And when you think about it, no one prior to this, no one in the scriptures is named John until John the Baptist. After John the Baptist, and this isn't to say that no one prior to him in the entire history of the world was named John, but the scriptures doesn't make any note of it. After the birth of John the Baptist, we have one of the apostles who's attributed to the gospel. We have three letters named John, attributed to John. The seer of the book of Revelation is named John. In the history of our church, we have over 60 saints who are named John and 23 popes who are named John. And we're not counting the saints who are named Joanne or Joan and at least one or two Juans. It is a very prominent name in the history of the church. But we don't see it in the scriptures prior to John the Baptist. So this is in many ways a turning point, not just scripturally but historically, in a name that means God is merciful, God is gracious. And we see various examples of the naming of people and what that name means. And in some cases, it's not only a naming, but a change in name, which we actually see more frequently. Abram is said, "You will no longer be known as Abram, but Abraham. Sarai will be known as Sarah. You will no longer be known as Jacob, but Israel." You are Simon, I declare you are Peter, rock, and on this rock I will build my church. Saul has a change of name to Paul. We see it all throughout our church's history in the tradition of people entering the religious life. They will often change their names to a new name in their religious life. Whenever the Holy Father is elected, people often wonder, what name will he take on? I often wonder if he just keeps the name he has, what the reaction will be. And a lot of speculation as to what that name will mean. We take on a new name when we are confirmed. Well, for example, Peter, of course, means rock, whereas Simon, his previous name, means God is heard. I looked up Paul. Initially, the name Saul means to ask, but Paul means tiny and petite. An interesting name for a man who's the defining theologian of the entire New Testament. When we look at the names of our holy fathers, Benedict means blessed or blessed one. Francis is an interesting one because Francis, here we have all this speculation as to what the new pope's name would be, and when he picks Francis, it's interesting that we have an Argentinian of Italian descent who's a Jesuit priest whose name means Frenchman. Think about it, Frank, the Franks. Francis means Frenchman. David, we had a king named David in Israel and someone else we all know. David means adored. I won't tell him if you won't. Looking at my name, William Charles Nicholas. William means strong helm, or strong-headed, or strong-minded. Thank you. Charles means free man. And Nicholas means victory, or the people's triumph, from the Greek word Nike. Yes, just do it. Nike means victory. It's actually the most common word in the book of Revelation. But Nicolaus, victory of the people. My confirmation name that I took on is Leo, which means lion. So think about it. Lion, who's a free man, who has a strong mind and victorious. I can take that. You look at the names of Jesus' parents. Joseph means God raises up. And you're going to love this one. Mary, rebellious woman. Very ironic for the person we honor, whose name is Mary, who completely submitted to the will of God. Her name means rebellious woman. Interesting, interesting. And so the naming is important, which is why whenever I have interviewed confirmation students with regard to the name that they will take, I usually spend a lot of time talking about it. Not a lot, but a little more time than other questions I ask them. For example, I had one young man whose name was Thomas, and the saint he chose was St. Thomas Aquinas. So I asked him, because I can't stand it when the children go up to the bishop, and the bishop places his hand on their head and he says, St. Teresa of Avila, be sealed in the Holy Spirit. No, St. Teresa is not being confirmed here, Bishop. It's Teresa. But that's often because they have on the name tags the saint's name rather than the actual name they're taking. But this young man chose Thomas Aquinas, and so I asked him, what is, in fact, his confirmation name? Thomas or Aquinas? And after some thought, he eventually came back and said, his name is already Thomas, so his confirmation name will be Aquinas. Aquinas. Someone once told me his name was going to be Ignatius. And I asked him, which Ignatius? Now, most students pick Ignatius of Loyola. And I asked usually why they picked that particular saint, what they hope to emulate in that saint. But this one, and I was very impressed, said Ignatius of Antioch. Ignatius of Antioch, another Ignatius, but one of the earliest fathers of the church, who was the first of the fathers to put in writing the reference to the church as Catholic. And he chose him because he's known for his writings and his martyrdom. That's pretty much all we know about him, is his writings and his martyrdom. And so the taking on of a name is a very important event in people's lives. It's the first gift that parents give to their children. I once knew a family whose last name was Hood. Guess what they named their son? I told them, he said, you do realize he's going to grow up to hate you. But it is the first gift we receive from our parents is our name. And hopefully they take it seriously as they choose the name. Just recently, Prince William and Kate Middleton gave birth to their third son, who's not even the crown prince or princess. And everyone speculated upon the name they were going to give him and what it would reflect from tradition and history in England. And whenever a Holy Father takes a name, we often speculate as to what that name means. And when Pope Francis took on the name Francis, naturally everyone thought of Francis of Assisi. No pope had ever taken on the name Francis. But before he actually clarified it, one Catholic news reporter said, well, he is Jesuit, and there are two very important Francises in the history of the Jesuits. One is Francis Xavier, who is the great missionary to the Far East, and the other is Francis Borgia, both of them saints, and yes, there is a Borgia who is a saint. He was the second successor of Ignatius of Loyola, so the third leader of the Jesuits, was offered a cardinalship because of his name, Borgia, and he turned it down. But it's interesting about this Francis is because his great-grandfather was Pope Alexander. That was on his father's side. On his mother's side, his mother was the illegitimate daughter of a bishop who was the illegitimate son of a king of Spain. What's in a name? The name Francis, is it Francis of Assisi, getting back to basics? Francis Xavier, evangelization to a new world, a modern world? Or Francis Borgia, holiness arising from a scandalous family history? All three are things that Pope Francis were facing as he became Holy Father in our modern church. Perhaps it wasn't just one name he was focusing on, but three saints. What is in a name? Today we celebrate the birth and the naming of John the Baptist. It's perhaps a time for any of us to consider what our name means. Those of us who are confirmed, what name we took on and why, and how we emulate that in our lives. Names mean things. And as we remember the naming of John the Baptist, let us reflect upon our own individual names as we go forth to live a life dedicated to God as John was. And how does our life, our values, our personality reflect, especially in light of how we live the gospel, the name we have taken on and the names that we have been given?